The reading is changed from the one printed in the bulletin. Rather, I'm reading from the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, the first four verses, and it's on page 259 in the New Testament section of your Bibles in the pew. Listen to God's word. Revelation 21, the first four verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." The word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Friday was Veterans Day. Different than Memorial Day. Memorial Day, which comes the last weekend in May, I guess, usually. I know it's around there sometime. Is it the last Monday of May, Memorial Day? I don't know. It's close to that. Honors those who have given their lives in service of their country through the various wars that are from our country's beginning. But Veterans Day honors not those who have died, but those who are living veterans. But they too have given of themselves, and some to great sacrifice. So I think it behooves us to take a moment and recognize all from our own midst and congregation, men and women, who are veterans. Would you please stand and let us recognize you? Thank you. Thank you for your service, I think is the appropriate remark. If you follow the concerns of veterans, you know that health care is a significant concern. And part of that health care picture is what we know as PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. The statistics are something like this: 8 million Americans suffer from PTSD. From Iraq, from the Iraq War, it's about 20% of those who have fought. That's one in five of the men and women who have fought in Iraq and come home suffer from PTSD. An older statistic from the Vietnam War, it's almost one in three. It's something like 31%. In an article that I found online from the Huffington Post, which I don't normally read, I suppose, but I Googled PTSD, and this article came up that said five things veterans wish others knew about PTSD. One, most people have no idea what they've been through. Those of us who have not been in wars, not had to take life or fight for our own lives and for the lives of people around us, they say, and I agree, have no idea what such a thing is like. Second, PTSD is not always easy to identify. Third, much of the suffering of PTSD is in silence and alone. Here's one I didn't, I was glad to find out, I guess. PTSD doesn't make one violent. Some with PTSD are violent, but in terms of the percentages of the population who have PTSD versus all the population, the percentage of violence is just very, very little bit more than the general population. So it's not at all something that everyone or most with PTSD become violent. And fifthly, that recovery is possible. Five things that veterans wish we knew about PTSD. Part of the treatment of PTSD, and indeed not just from a military perspective, but civilians can suffer from PTSD. Anyone who has been traumatized at any time of their lives, even back to childhood, can suffer and show symptoms of PTSD, and some of it may not appear until years later, or the person and their family may have absolutely no idea of what's going on. One of the ways of one of the key steps in treatment, of course, is the willingness to get treatment, the recognition that one needs to be treated, and that there is no shame in being treated, and that there is hope in the treatment. It's, in a way, facing the reality that one, out of one's humanity and the defense mechanisms with which we are equipped, just do not want to face. That's the trauma of facing the reality of war and living with its consequences. No matter how valiantly, how honorably one has served. Part of the treatment is facing that trauma, being, in a way, brutally, painfully honest with facing it. Sometimes that may mean reliving it, hopefully within a safe environment, with a therapist with whom one has confidence and trust, and letting it out. There was a kind of therapy that, since I'm not a professional therapist, I don't know if it's still in vogue, but it was in vogue, I think at least from the 1970s. It was called the healing of memories. Does that sound familiar to anybody? And the concept was similar to what we just talked about related to PTSD, that it is being in a safe environment with a trusted and trained therapist and walking back with them in one's life, maybe even back to childhood, to recognize and face the trauma or the difficulties of one's life with which may still affect one from childhood into adulthood. To recognize it, to, in a way, relive it by facing its truth and then taking the power out of it, like popping the balloon of it so that, let it burst, let it out. Don't let it keep such power and control. And from a Christian perspective, part of Christian therapy was to do that while prayerfully in the presence of God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. That is, to prayerfully and intentionally with God with Christ, not alone, face the memories, face the trauma, and perhaps begin to re-envision it. To re-envision healing. To re-envision that although it may have seemed such at the time, you were not alone. That God had not abandoned you. That even then, you were loved. The people to whom the prophet Isaiah writes were people struggling with trauma. They had been, and their families before them, you know, their fathers, grandfathers, had seen, had been part of the people of God and had claimed the covenant and trying to live and they had built Jerusalem and they had worshiped in the temple that Solomon had built, and then it was all destroyed. The Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and carried the people away from their homes, deported them, brought them to a land they did not know, immersed them in a culture that was not their own. And they were traumatized. And at this point in the book of Isaiah, they have returned to Jerusalem to begin to rebuild, literally, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, to rebuild the damaged temple, to rebuild their own lives that had been taken from them. And in this passage, we have one of the, how to even describe it, pregnant prophecies, so rich and full, because it is addressed to a people in their context and in their circumstance. But yet it envisions, yet it looks to the past, we'll see, but it also envisions a future, either one of which, both of which, they long for. They didn't know the future. And so in the imagery here, they long for what was past. And the clue to that is really in the very last verse where it mentions the serpent. The serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. This is a reference. I think you might know what that reference is to. It's back to the Garden of Eden. It's back to before the fall, when much of what is pictured here was and would have been their lives had the fall, quote unquote, not happened. There wouldn't be infants that lived but a few days. See how it's mixing the kind of the imagery of what happened in their traumatic events with the envisioning of the kind of what was in the past. An old person who does not live out a lifetime for 100 years would be considered a youth. How's that for a youth group? Be a pretty good one, I think. Part of what they, that didn't happen for them, they envisioned having homes that they built that they can live in. Vineyards that they plant that they can enjoy the fruit of because they were ripped from their homes. The vineyards they had planted, they were not able to enjoy because they were taken away to another place. They would not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. And then the wonderful images of what's called the peaceable kingdom. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And what was part of the Garden of Eden and the paradise was the intimate relationship with God. Before they call, God says, before they call, I will answer them. That's how in touch and how intimate our relationship will be. Before they even call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, before they're finished speaking is what it means. I'll hear, I'll know the desires of their hearts. I'll know what they want. I already know. And such is the love and such is the intimacy of relationship as Adam and Eve walked with God in the coolness of the evening in the pre-fall paradise. Their intimate relationship with God. This is what they longed for based on what they knew from the past. They long to be back in the Garden of Eden. It never happened. They long for the peaceable kingdom, but it never happened. They rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem and they rebuilt the Temple of Solomon only to see it destroyed again by the Romans in the year 70. And young children died. And old people died. And there was not peace. We all long for utopia. We all long for a Garden of Eden or an Edenic-like existence. Humans have tried to establish it in many ways. Some doesn't seem quite right, even through war and conquest. We've tried to live the peaceable kingdom. But wolves and lambs don't do all that well together, at least from the lamb's perspective. And lions don't eat straw like oxes. They eat oxen. And there is still destruction. And there's still tears. And there's still despair. And there always will be on this earth from a human perspective. We all are suffering from what we might call PED, post-Eden disorder. We live in a world that has fallen. The paradise is over. We as human beings are fallen human beings. We are flawed. We are not perfect. We cannot make ourselves perfect. No political system, no president, old or new, no peace movement, no any kind of movement will bring utopia, will bring the garden, will bring the peaceable kingdom, because We are all fallen. Yet we long for it. Out of the deepest desires of our hearts. Indeed, we recognize that we were created for it. And that until we live in it, no matter how good our life might be, it'll always be incomplete. And even though we might live out some happiness, it may be costly. And we'll live in a world where there is hunger and babies die and old people die before their years. But there's a vision. There's a vision that in the midst of their circumstance, in the midst of their longing for the past, that God gives to God's people. And it's prophetic. It's about now, but it's looking forward. For God says through the prophet Isaiah, with the people returned in this part of Isaiah from captivity, come back to begin to build Jerusalem, and life there is hard. They maybe expected utopia when they got back, but they came back to destruction. And they came back to a fallen city in a fallen world. But God says, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. And listen to this. The former things shall not be remembered. Remembered. Or come to mind. We won't have to remember the trauma to be healed. We won't remember. The new heaven and the new earth, there will be no trauma. The new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem as it is described in the next to the last chapter of the Bible is like a bride adorned for her husband, that the home of God is now among men and women. He will dwell with us. We will be his people. God himself will be with us, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. The sin of a post-Edenic world will pass away. The trauma of war will pass away. The healing of our lives will have taken place, and the pain and the suffering and the tears will pass away. We won't have to remember them. We won't even remember them. Let us honor our veterans. Let us provide what is needed for them and for all who suffer from PTSD. And let's be honest with ourselves. about our own condition. And together, let us thank God for the vision. Of the new heaven and the new earth. And it's already started with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we begin to live it out while we are still in this fallen world. The kingdom has broken in, it has come. It is coming. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.